I want to share some thoughts with you this morning, particularly on that gospel reading that we just heard. Not that first reading. Very complicated reading. But the gospel reading really spoke to me this past week as I've been in the context of these, particularly these last few days. If I can do a little name dropping, yesterday was the ordination of Ann Hodges Copple as our new bishop suffragan for the Diocese of North Carolina. That was at Duke Chapel yesterday. And our presiding bishop, Bishop Catherine Jefford Shorey, was the principal consecrator for that. And she always comes whenever there's a bishop to be ordained. And so she arrived here earlier this week. And so on Friday, we had a luncheon that the clergy of our diocese were invited to and had a chance to have an intimate lunch with the presiding bishop with 70 other folks. And a chance to kind of talk and have some conversation. And she shared some thoughts as well. And I want to share a couple of her thoughts with you as well this morning. And, of course, the ordination yesterday. So in the context of some of those experiences, share with you some thoughts this morning. Want to read something to you. I never tend to read things that someone has written. But this really spoke to me as well this week as I've put some thoughts together. It's from Richard Rohr, who you know I tend to quote quite a bit. Probably one of the top five spiritual writers who've influenced my life and continues to. But I want to read this to you and see if this resonates with you. Richard writes, "Those at the edge of any system and those excluded from any system ironically and invariably hold the secret for the conversion and wholeness of that very group." Let me read that one more time. "Those at the edge of any system and those excluded from any system ironically and invariably hold the secret for the conversion and wholeness of that very group. They always hold the feared, the rejected, and denied parts of the group's soul. You see, therefore, why the church was meant to be that group that constantly went to the edges, to the least of the brothers and sisters, and even to the enemy. Jesus was not just a theological genius, but he was also a psychological and sociological genius. When any church defines itself by exclusion of anybody, it is always wrong. It is avoiding its only vocation, which is to be the Christ. The only groups that Jesus seriously critiques are those who include themselves and exclude others from the always given grace of God. Only as the people of God receive the stranger, the sinner, the immigrant, those who don't play our game our way, do we discover not only the hidden, feared, and hated parts of our souls, but the fullness of Jesus himself. We need them for our own conversion." I don't know if that resonates with you. It's a long kind of reading quote, but it really speaks to me of the ministry of Jesus, and particularly this gospel reading today. This is a particular story about Jesus, but it seems similar to other stories of Jesus. Jesus is having a meal in the house of a Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee is certainly from the group, the faith tradition. And the Pharisee is a pretty strict observer of that faith tradition, very much drawn to the law, to the letter of the law. And so this Pharisee, whose name's Simon, we hear in the gospel reading, invites Jesus to his house for a meal. And while there, it's told there's this woman comes in. Now, we don't know the woman's name. She's described as a sinner. We don't know what her sin is. But she comes to Jesus, and it's powerfully described. She comes with this jar of ointment. She wants to anoint Jesus, but she's so taken with him that she begins to weep. And weep so much. I mean, try to picture these kinds of tears. Weeping so much that with these tears, she can actually wash the feet of Jesus. You know, it was a custom in those days that when you arrived in someone's home, you would have your feet washed to take the dust and the dirt off as you entered someone's home. And so this woman is washing his feet. And certainly someone from the edge. You know, certainly someone who the Pharisee was uneasy with. And the Pharisee says, do you know who this is? You know, remember the group we're a part of. You know who this is? You know, this is someone excluded. This is someone put off. And yet Jesus welcomes her and brings her in and forgives her sins, which is probably the most outrageous thing that he could have done. So Jesus is always portrayed as this reaching out to the edge. He's from the group. He's shaped and formed and nourished by his faith community. But so much of his ministry is going out to the edge of that community. And you'll see so often when Jesus touches somebody, heals somebody, forgives somebody, he always sends them back to the group. Remember those stories where Jesus will say, now, you've been healed. Now, go to the priests in the temple. You know, go back to your town or your community. You know, go back to the group that's rejected you and share with them the experience you've had. You know, Jesus isn't doing this just to heal or just to forgive the people at the edge, but he sends them back to the group for the group to be transformed, for the group to be renewed. As Richard Rohr says, we need that for our conversion. We need whatever group we're a part of, we need that for our own sense of who we are. Jesus had this incredible ability to do that. And in many ways, it's what we're called to. Bishop Catherine Jefferts Schori was sharing some thoughts with us the other day, which I found very, very thoughtful. Saying that the Episcopal Church has gone through some challenging times over the last 10 years or so. But her observation was that we have come to a point where we perhaps value relationship a little better than perhaps we did 10 years ago. That we are able to be in communication with each other, to be in relationship with each other, even when we don't agree with each other. Even though, for some, the Episcopal Church was on the edge. For some of the Episcopal Church, some other folks were on the edge. We've had these experiences. And what Catherine Jefferts Schori was suggesting is that within the church, we have learned the ability to perhaps speak with each other, be in conversation with each other, true conversation. She shared with us, you know, if you think about the root of the word conversation, it actually means, from the Latin, to turn around with. To turn around with and engage. You know, it's kind of like two people come together, and together let's look at this and converse together, to turn together. And perhaps in the Episcopal Church, in the Anglican Communion, we've learned to do that a little better, was her suggestion, her observation. For instance, a few years back, there was controversy in the Episcopal Church, particularly within the Anglican Communion. Some of our brothers and sisters in the African continent, some of the bishops of those dioceses were very angry at the Episcopal Church and kind of shutting out the Episcopal Church. And Bishop Catherine Jefferts Schori shared that many of those bishops have retired since then. New bishops have come to leadership. And while they may still hold a similar theology, they're much more open to relationship, much more open to conversation, much more open to being in relationship together, even though we might always agree with each other. And that is a huge thing for us to value and to hold on to. And what was being suggested is, perhaps that's a gift that we can bring to the larger community. You know, how in the larger community today, in the political sphere, in our state, in our country, this inability to talk, this inability to converse. You know, conversation, the way we oftentimes think of conversation is, I'll tell you what I think. And you tell me what you think, and that's conversation. But what Catherine was suggesting is conversation is really turning with another and listening and really engaging. Where is the common ground? Where do we agree on things? Let's work from there. Begin there in conversation. And how we need that in our culture, in our time today. to enter into, to engage with. And yesterday's ordination of Ann Hodges Koppel as our new suffragan bishop, the whole call of this suffragan bishop role is to invite us, not to have the answers for this, but to invite us to be the church that's called to Galilee, the church that's called to the edge, the church that's called to be perhaps with those that have been excluded, to be the church that goes beyond the group, but reaches beyond to those from whom not only we can, not only do we bring something to, but who also can transform us and change us as well. So this gospel today, I think, is rich and deep, and I'm putting it together with thoughts that have come over the last few days as I've listened to our presiding bishop and experienced the ordination of Anne yesterday, and Richard Rohr's thoughts of going to the edge. So as we continue this journey together of being church, discovering what church is, you know, many today would agree that the church is not what it once was. Not that it needs to be. It isn't that anymore. But what we are and what we are to become is the great call that we have. The call that we have. And we can be this model of Christ, being the Christ, being someone who is nurtured, fed, cared for by the group, by the community, by the faith-filled community, but also called to the edge. Also called to those places that we fear. So often we don't go where we're afraid of. And so often in our lives, in the spiritual journey, when you're afraid of something, it's where you gotta go. You know, if you go for talk to spiritual directors or the spiritual journey, or even counseling or help on your life journey, where your fears are, let's go there. Let's go there. That's where the learning is. That's where the transformation can happen. And I think that's where the church is in our time. And we're part of that. We're part of that vision, part of that dream to live out and become the vision God has for us. So hopefully these random thoughts have made some sense today. May we be that community where we feed and nourish and strengthen each other. We need each other. We need each other. But we also need to go to the edges. To those that perhaps have been, whether consciously or unconsciously, excluded. We need to reach out to the edges. As we say in our diocese, go to Galilee. Not only to reach out to those folks, but let those folks also transform us to live into the dream that God has for us and the vision that God has for us. Let's go forth in the journey together.